Links Radio Sport.
Faster, my good evening. It is Friday the 4th of September. Welcome back to Friday Sport Preview. Lovely to have you with me. I'll be looking at all the sporting action happening this weekend. Coming up on the show, marathon man Ollie Lockley on being selected as an elite athlete to compete in the 2020 London Marathon.
You've got two guys that are the fastest ever over the distance competing against each other, and it's an honour to be in their company.
Vaggers Ladies is set to take on Guernsey Women's Rugby Team in front of a home crowd next month.
I've had a wee snoop. I've watched a few videos. They're going to put up a good fight, I would say.
And hockey is back. Sam Spooner and I go through the first set of fixtures post-COVID. All that and more coming up here at the home of Manx Sport. And of course, don't fret, Tony Meppam is here to discuss all the latest football and what's coming up this weekend. Thank you very much, Alex, for the news there, and thank you very much for joining me this evening. Some headlines for you to begin with. Professional cyclist Amelia Sharp has been snapped up by a new team. The 19-year-old Manx rider is set to join NXTG Racing from 2021 on a two-year contract. Unfortunately, the Isle of Man Sports 2020 Coaching Festival has been cancelled due to a lack of demand. Instead, workshops are due to take place on separate occasions throughout the rest of the year as part of the ongoing coach education programme. And Isle of Man Badminton Association is calling on familiar and new players to show off their skills at senior squad trials next week. Tryouts are being held at Ballacameen High School on the 8th and 15th of September from 6 until 8pm. More information can be found on the Isle of Man Badminton Association Facebook page.
Manx Radio Sport.
This weekend's football fixtures, starting with the men's Canada Life Premier League. We've got Douglas Athletic versus Douglas Old Boys, Peel versus St George's, Douglas Royal versus Rushen, St Mary's versus St John's, Ayr versus Moran, and Corinthians will take on Laxey. In the Canada Life Combi 1, Douglas Old Boys will take on Douglas Athletic, St George's will take on Peel, Rushen versus Douglas Royal, Moran versus Ayr and Laxey versus Corinthians. In JCK Division 2, Union Mills will take on Maloo, Governors Athletic will take on Onchan at Colby, Douglas and District will take on Castletown at Paul Rose, Michael versus Colby, Braddon versus Paul Rose, and Foxdale versus Jims. And finally, in JCK Combi 2, we've got Maloo versus Union Mills. Onchan will take on Governors Athletic, Castletown versus Douglas and District, Colby versus Michael, and Jims versus Foxdale. Now, as I said, we have got Meps in the studio as always, but we had two midweek games. So let's chat about those first, because they sounded like they were pretty exciting matches.
Yeah, they were. And what was more worrying was the weather, because the day before I thought, oh my word, here we're going to lose a couple of games. But I'm glad to say the weather was kind to us on Tuesday. Plenty of sunshine. Neither game was under pressure. We moved the kickoff to 6:15, and two good games as well. Corinthians beat Peel 7-0, but Peel played a lot of good young players, and they've just got to be patient and just let them get used to playing senior football, because some of these guys haven't been used to that. So good performance by Corinthians, 6-0 up at half time, 7-0 at the end. But I think anyone watching knows that it's changing of the guard. And when you look at Peel, no Reece Oates, no Louis Gale, no Karen Christian, no Dominic McCreevy, no Luke Doherty, there was a lot of players missing for them, but it's still, the job had to be done, and Corinthians did it really well. And in the other game, I know everyone was keeping a close eye on that one, because Rushen against the Georges, again, two of the fancy teams to win the Canada Life Premier League this year, and Rushen came out 2-0 winners, a couple of goals within, I think it was 7 minutes, I think it was 65 and 72, something like that, and Dan Hattersley got them both, one was a penalty. Seen them both. Typical Dan goals. He really is clever in front of goal. He knows what he's doing, and he's a big guy as well. And pretty impressive start to the season by him. St George's, again, one or two players missing, but young players coming in, and the future looks bright for St George's and Peel with those young players coming into the system. But I think it's a bit of a pointer where the strengths might be, Corinthians and Rushen, but certainly when you look at Laxey, St Mary's, in there as well, it's all to play for, and I'm pretty certain there'll be some exciting games tomorrow.
And hopefully some exciting games this weekend, as you say. So let's start and dive straight in with the Premier League. So we've got Douglas Athletic versus Douglas Old Boys.
Yeah, and just a little note, a sad note on this one, if I can, is Douglas High School Old Boys, their first team player, Jack Townsend, unfortunately was flown away yesterday, I think it was. And Jack's not particularly well at the moment, so I know he won't be listening, but the family will certainly be listening. Our thoughts are with you all, his teammates at Douglas High School Old Boys as well. I know it's hit them hard, and you know, hopefully a speedy recovery for Jack. But it's a little bit worrying for everybody, and it's bizarre how this world is, because the day before I was working with him, and it's, you know, 18, 19 years of age. It's a shame, but hopefully it'll be on the mend very, very quickly, and I want the banter with him back at work, because I look forward to that on a Monday morning. But certainly against Douglas Athletic, it's a game that both sides, I think, will fancy that they can win. Tommy Miller will be disappointed, I think, with the result last week against Ramsey, but certainly Douglas Athletic, they are a team. It's always an awkward fixture. One of the most awkward for Premiership sides is to go down to Springfield Road to play on that small, tight pitch, and with the rain that we had midweek as well, might just make it a little bit more difficult for both teams to play football. But if I've got to hedge myself towards a winner, I don't like draws, I would say Old Boys might just get it right and take the points.
Mm-hmm. Peel versus St George's, what's your verdict?
I think, again, it depends who Peel have got available, because Luke Doherty and Dominic McCreevy played the Saturday before against Rusham, was it? Yeah, it was. And, you know, I just thought to myself, you know, without those two at the back, it makes it difficult for them. Not taking anything away from Lucas Watson, who came in, young player, did really well. Tom Wood there, masses of experience from him, even for a young player. But I think, you know, St George's will be a little bit too strong for them. I think Steve Faulkner knows that he's struggling without his big players, and has struggled to find goals without Reece Oates, who's going to be a long, long time before he comes back, I would think. And also Lee Gale with his shoulder injury. It points to me towards Johnny Myers' team. St George's taking that victory with Kieran McNulty back leading the way up front, getting goals for them.
Douglas Royal versus Rushen.
Tough afternoon, I think, and I think Michael Fitzmaurice knows this is coming. He's got one or two sort of injuries to deal with. Taylor Andrews, who scores plenty of goals for Douglas Royal, has got ligament damage, so, you know, we'll wait and see how that goes. Young lad, so they spring back very quickly. You've been through that sort of injury, Rhian, so you know, when you had a boot on and everything, so we'll wait and see how that one goes. But, you know, rushing at banging form, and you can see why a lot of people out there feel that this could be Russian's year. But Liam Cowan's going about it very sensibly. He's you know, got some strong players out there, players who maybe weren't quite ready but are good enough to play in that team, and now finding their way. And the one I think of is Josh Kelly, who came off the bench and looked pretty impressive in the quarter of an hour or so he was on. So I expect Russian to win that one, and I think Douglas Royal just got to try and defend, and you know, it might just go well for them. They're good young players, but when you're coming across the experience of Rushen, it's going to be tough.
Are you saying Rushen are the ones to watch this season?
Yeah, I think so. I think you look at Rushen, Corinthians, but, you know, we're all looking over our shoulder, because once FC Alaman start going away on a regular basis, that's going to have a massive input into where this league title is going to go. It just depends what players Chris Bass picks. There's players, it's the first one next week, as in they're going away to Guernsey to play. So it's away. I know it's a smaller squad going, but certainly that's going to affect a lot of teams next week, because there's no postponements for any games if anyone's representing sort of FC Alaman.
Surely it's a good opportunity for other players to come through, though.
Very much so, but it just depends how strong combination teams are. And when you look at sort of the combination one, you'll look around teams like Russian's Combi, who had a good result recently, Corinthians, who have played really well. You look at St Mary's, who are one of the top sides but haven't got a combination team. St George's will be strong, they'll be there or thereabouts when the title's handed out. But yeah, it does give players stand out. But, you know, all clubs, they look to win the league, or you know at the start of the season where you could go. And unfortunately, not knocking FC Alaman, it's not in their hands. Yeah, it's not in the club's hands. Mm. And this is where it's going to be very difficult. So all I can say to managers out there is maybe take Chris out for a drink, ask him not to pick their players, and then it might just all go well for them.
Yeah, sound advice.
We've got alcoholic.
Yeah. We've got St Mary's versus St John's.
Close game, I would think. You know, St Mary's last week against Moran. You know, Moran could have won it, but it was only 2-1 to St Mary's. Similar sort of opposition. I know St John's are bottom of the league, but they've got some good players in there. I think the squad has been sort of picked, and there might be one or two missing tomorrow, which will hamper them a little bit, but they've still got some good players in there, and if they can show the same sort of performance that Moran did last week, then they might be able to turn St Mary's over. But St Mary's have got two or three really top players, and they could turn it on for them, and I think St Mary's will have enough.
Speaking of Moran, they're taking on Ayr tomorrow.
Yeah, and what a result that was last week for Ayr United against Laxey, because Laxey were top. Ayr United 3-0 winners, which was pretty impressive. We know what Ayr United's team is like, is littered with really good players, and it's just getting used to the speed and the fitness of the Premier League, because they've been in Div 2 or 2 for a bit, but they come back in, and last week I think they've showed
absolutely storming. It wasn't a slight win. You know, they dominated that game by the sound of it.
Well, exactly, and I think certainly Johnny Palmer will be disappointed that, because, you know, Laxey were going well and they looked at that as a win for them. And
Could that be a touch of complacency?
It could be. But I think Johnny's problems are coming because, as everyone knows, you know, university, people are starting to go back now. And Johnny's going to take a big hit on that. He'll probably lose 2-3 players, maybe 4, out of his first team. But certainly Ayr United at the moment going well against Moran team who, you know, again against St Mary's winning 2-1, and you know, it was good, and Barton's been scoring a couple of goals for them. So if they can sort of get the goals and keep it nice and tight at the back, then they may be able to steal some points away from Ayr. But I'm taking note of that result from Ayr last week.
Mm-hmm. And finally, in the Premier League, we've got Corinthians versus Laxey.
Yeah, they're next to each other in the league. Laxey have played 5-10 points. Corinthians have played 3 with maximum 9. As I say, midweek, Dan Simpson with a couple of goals, Luke Murray, Sean Doyle with a hat-trick. But to me, Danny Gerrard was absolutely immense in that centre midfield. And I think, you know, I work with Johnny, so I'm pretty certain that Johnny's planning tonight my downfall. And, you know, just be careful there, Johnny. We're supposed to be mates. But no, Joe Walters will come back in from suspension. I think they've got one or two other players that will come back in. You know, and it's similar to last season. You know, Laxey have had a really good start. Players that are in there going really well. Matthew Wilkinson's 1, Andrew Burkett 2. So I expect Laxey to make it difficult, but I'm going to go for Corinthians to win.
Let's look at the Canada Life Combi 1. So we've got Douglas Old Boys versus Douglas Athletic.
Yeah, I think Old Boys, you know, it depends. If you remember that game last week, was it? They got 3 sent off. I think those bans might have kicked in this week. I'm not 100% sure on that one, so please check Old Boys, which could deplete their squad a little bit. So I've got a funny
feeling. How long do those bans last?
It just depends what the offences were, Rianne. You know, if it's bad language, and that can be 2 games. If it's handball, you know, and you have to send them off, it could be 1. So I'm not 100% sure on it, but you know, if it's dissent, it can be a little bit more. But I've got a feeling Douglas Athletic will win that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's down to frustration?
It can be, but it's like everything else. The referee carries out the laws of the game.
Yeah.
And it's all right turning around, I'm not saying on this case, and saying, oh, the referee made a mistake. But I remember one, I won't name him, who got sent off recently, and he's back playing tomorrow. And I said to him, what did you say to the referee? And he told me, I said, well, that's a red card, you can't complain. Yeah, but it wasn't directed at him, but he heard it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a red card. Under rules, it's a red card. So, you know, just... but it could be a bit of frustration as well.
Yeah, one to watch. We've got St George's versus Peel.
Sam Brown's team will be hoping to, you know, win this one against a young St George's side. But I think St George's have still got enough there to take the points away from Peel.
And Rushen versus Douglas Royal.
Yeah, I think Rushen will win this one. I think Douglas Royal, with the players that are missing first team, you know, they take them from the combi. Mm-hmm. And I know the combi midweek were a couple of players missing. So I think Douglas Royal will find it tough. I'll go for Rushen to win.
And a kind of mirror image from the Premier League, we've got Moran versus Ayr.
Yeah, it is. And I'll go for Moran to win it. I just think with home advantage there, it depends what the weather was like midweek, if it's affected the pitch. But I think Milan will have enough. And in the other game, Lazio against Corinthians. Corinthians are sort of undefeated in that league. They're very, very strong. And I don't think Blaine has taken too many players out there. So the boys are getting used to playing with each other. And Joe Middleton had 5 goals. He scored 5 midweek in the under-18 league. So he'll be looking to see if he can continue that goal-scoring form in the combi as well. So I'll go for Corinthians to win.
Mm-hmm. We'll have a quick skeet at JCK Division 2. So we've got Union Mills versus Malou.
Malou had a great result last week against Ramsey Youth Centre. 5-3. Superb. But as were with Union Mills, played 5-1-5, scoring plenty of goals. I think they'll be too strong. Union Mills to win.
Governors Athletic versus Onchan.
Yeah, this one's at Colby. And just be careful now, because we've got a couple of other clubs playing at different venues. So you've got to keep your eyes open now and take on board what's happened. But I think Governors Athletic, I don't think they've ever been in this sort of league position at this stage of how many games they've played. Because we normally start the season tomorrow. The day after Manx Grand Prix. But the way things have gone, we started a bit early. So Governors against Onchan, close battle. I was impressed with Onchan when I watched them a couple of weeks ago, so I'll go for Onchan to win.
Douglas and District versus Castletown at Paul Rose.
Yeah, this is one that you've got to be careful of now, because D&D are going to jump between two pitches. They're going to play up at Glencutchy Road, up at Nobles Park, some games, and they're going to be playing at the pitch opposite the swimming pool. So they'll get changed at Pulley's changing rooms, but they'll play at Groves Road is that one. And the reason for that is there's been a lot of work done at the top pitch and it's just not quite right. So that's why they're sort of sharing the grounds. But D&D against Castletown, I'll go for D&D to win.
Okie dokie. And just quickly, we've got Michael versus Colby.
Yeah, on the three remaining games, I expect Colby to beat Michael. Mm-hmm. Braddon against Paul Rose, when you look at, 60-odd goals they've conceded in 4 games, you'd point towards Braddon to win that. And Foxdale against Jims, I think Foxdale will prove too strong. And when you look at one of the players last week, Jay Chatwood got 13 goals in 1 game. That's pretty impressive, so we'll go for Foxdale.
That is fairly impressive. Brilliant. Thank you very much, Tony Mepps, as always. And we're going to have a little look at hockey next. So, hockey is making its long-awaited return this weekend. Yes, I feel very excited. Manx Radio's hockey correspondent has been back up in the studio with me to go through the first set of fixtures after lockdown and to look at how COVID has hit the island's hockey scene.
Obviously, it's had a massive impact on Manx hockey. I mean, if you look at the Ireland under-18s boys, they were in the semi-final of the England Hockey Championships to be played this weekend. Unfortunately, due to travel restrictions and border closures, etc., they can't now go away. They're bitterly disappointed, but they can be proud of themselves for the way they've conducted themselves. They've done an incredible job to get to where they did, and it shows the future's bright. It's probably one of the best under-18s boys teams I've ever seen in my time in hockey. And then you've got the future of this next season's England Hockey Championships, which doesn't look like we're going to be able to enter any sides from the Isle of Man this year, owing to the issues in the UK at the minute. We'll have to wait and see on that. There is a bit of time. I think we've got till about October to really decide on that and understand what restrictions are in place.
What about the local league coming up?
Well, hockey's in quite a unique position in that we've actually been, the MHA have done a brilliant job in the fact that they've been able to make the decision to play the last 2 games of the season, or 3 games for some clubs, at the start of this next season to ensure that we can finish the league and there is no break. Unfortunately, we did lose the knockout competitions, but to be able to finish the leagues is a massive, massive bonus, and kudos to the Manx Hockey Association for that.
Brilliant. And those final games are going to get played over the next 2 weekends, and you mentioned a midweek game as well. And then when does the new season start?
Immediately the weekend after. I think it's the 19th of September.
Right. Okay. And what are your expectations for this season?
For the 2020-2021 season, it's very, very different. There's a whole new league structure. Mixed hockey is no longer being played before Christmas. The biggest news.
Why is that? Sorry.
Oh, because there was decisions that were made by the clubs. It was voted at a clubs rep meeting to change the league so they could have men's and ladies before Christmas and for most of the season after Christmas, in order to better prepare sides to compete in the England Hockey Championships, for the Ireland representative sides to compete in, you know, the counties tournaments, etc. Because previously we were a little bit hamstrung at that level, having played mixed first, people playing out of position, people playing in squads that maybe they were better than, because the numbers are so much higher in mixed hockey in terms of you can only have five men and five ladies on the pitch at one time. So playing the men's and ladies before Christmas gives us a massive advantage in terms of training time and playing time and getting used to the positions they'll be playing in.
And do you think you're going to jump on the bandwagon with Guernsey? A lot of Guernsey teams coming over and vice versa to play their squad, you know, just for some outdoor competition, really.
Well, I know the Vets went away last weekend to play against Guernsey Vets. A much younger Guernsey Vets team, it has to be said. And they lost 4-2, but during the refreshments, it was made clear that Guernsey are really keen to get some sides over here, some under-14s, under-18s, some senior squads. So I know that's being planned on at the minute.
Okay, shall we look at this weekend's fixtures?
Absolutely.
Okie dokie. So starting in the men's prem, we've got Saracens A versus Backers Men's A and also Vikings A versus Valkyries A.
Backers A to beat Saracens A, although Saracens A have proven to be a bogey side for a number of teams this season, especially Vikings A, pulling a point out of Vikings A this season. Vikings A, Valkyries A, it's a tough one to call with such a large break happening, but based on the table, based on the form pre-COVID, you've got to say Vikings A for the win there. That should take the league into a final weekend with a head-to-head with Vikings A and Backers A at the top of the table, winner takes all for the championship. That being said, Vikings A have not been good enough in front of goal this season. If you look at the top goal scorer charts, there is no Vikings player in the top six. You have three Backers players, one Saracens and one Valkyries, and one Ramsey player in the top six goal scorers in the league. Vikings want to compete against Backers A, they've got to start scoring goals.
Women's Prem, you've got Backers A versus Ramsey, Vikings A versus Saracens, and Castletown A versus Valkyries.
This one's a very simple one. If Vikings beat Saracens, they win the title. And there's nothing on the form book to say that Vikings won't beat Saracens on, tomorrow. It's one of those. I think Backers, Ramsey head-to-head, that's fighting for that third place behind Valkyries A, who are the best of the rest at the minute. Castletown A versus Valkyries A, that's going to be a big, big game, I think. And it's always a good game between those two sides, but you've got to say Valkyries A to edge that one.
Men's Division 1, Vikings B versus Backers B, Vikings C versus Castletown A, and Valkyries B versus Harlequins.
Yeah, I think all of these games are really important. This league's one of the most interesting. You've got three teams all battling for relegation, 2 points between those three teams, and only four goals and goal difference between those three sides as well. So it's very, very interesting. If Backers B beat Vikings B and Harlequins lose against Valkyries, then Backers B will walk away with the title tomorrow. That, on paper, isn't very likely. But Valkyries are desperately trying to avoid that relegation spot. So they'll be going all out to beat Harlequins A tomorrow. When it comes to Vikings C versus Castan A, that is the real relegation battle of the weekend. Vikings C, if they were to win that game, would move them clear and safe of relegation and could potentially condemn Castan A to relegation. Although they do have a game in hand, that game in hand is against the current league leaders, Backers B. So they would find it very, very hard to survive if they don't win tomorrow.
Women's Division 1, Valkyries B versus Backers B and Castletown B versus Harlequins.
Yeah, Valkyries B are already champions, so they've got nothing to lose at this point in time. Backers B are desperately, again, trying to get out of that bottom spot. And I think they could prove a challenge for that Valkyries B side, especially as it's been such a long break. And I know Backers have been training for a long, long time as well as a squad and teams. So I know Backers B are going to be really well prepared for this. I'm not sure what Valkyries B's training regime has been like, but on form, they haven't conceded a goal. They've scored 28 goals in six games. You've got to put Valkyries B to win that one. Castan B, Harlequins B. There is a little bit of a gulf between them. 13 goals and goal difference. Castan B haven't won a game, but have earned four really, really good draws. And Castan B could snatch it from Harlequins this weekend.
Who would you put your money on?
It's a tough one. I'm going to say Harlequins.
Okay. I'll go Castletown B then. Men's Division 2, Saracens B versus Backers Colts, Valkyries C versus Backers C, and Ramsey versus Castletown B.
Again, this league could be won. In fact, all the leagues could be won this weekend. Saracens B could win the league if they beat Bacchus Colts and Ramsey B lose to Castan B. The likelihood of Ramsey B losing to Castan B, that Ramsey B side is a very, very experienced side. Dan Stevenson, who was awarded the man of the match in the Isle of Man Vets trip last weekend, he plays in that side and he's a very, very good striker. As you can see, 28 goals scored, second best in league, or the third at the minute in terms of placement. Saracens B, they should overcome Bacchus Colts, although Bacchus Colts can surprise you. And if Bacchus Colts have to win that game to have any chance of winning the title, if they win, Bacchus Colts actually go top of the league. So, and again, it's another very interesting battle at the top. The Ramsey B versus Castan B is going to go Ramsey B's way, I think. And then Valkyrie C, Bacchus C. I think Valkyrie C are going to sneak that one.
Women's Division 2, we've got Bacchus C versus Ramsey B and Viking C versus Valkyrie C.
Yeah, if Viking C will win the league if they beat Valkyrie C this weekend. It's as simple as that. Bacchus C will hope that Vikings slip up to give them a chance on the final day of the season. But I can't see anything but a Viking C win there.
Last but not least, mixed under 16. So we've got Harlequins versus Castletown and Valkyries versus Vikings.
Yeah, again, Harlequins have had a very, very good season. Against Castan, I think Harlequins should sneak that one. And then Valkyries versus Vikings, I think it's going to be a very, very close battle. And I'm going to sit on the fence and say, I just don't know which way on that one's going to go.
Oh, you can't do that.
It'll go to a team beginning with V.
Nice, yeah. Okie dokie. And just finally, you mentioned it's been a long break. You know, it had been a long break for other sports who have started back before hockey. Is there a risk of injury? Do you think people have had enough training time?
I think the whole reason we decided not to continue with the league as soon as lockdown ended was purely for that reason. Was to give people a chance to have training, to get used to being on the pitch again, getting used to holding a stick in their hand again. So yeah, it was a very wise choice to make it, just to latch it on the start of this season. You know, it's taken a lot of effort from the fixtures secretary, Paul Gould, and Ross Stevens, who's taken over from Paul this year. The MHA themselves getting a consensus across all the squad, all the teams as well, in unprecedented times. So it has been a very, very big effort from the Manx Hockey Association to carry on like this, and it's very much appreciated by everybody in Manx Hockey.
Very best of luck to everyone this weekend, and thank you very much to our hockey correspondent Sam Spooner there. Marathon man Ollie Lockley is up next.
Manx Radio Sport.
A Manx man has been selected to compete alongside some of the world's greatest after qualifying as an elite athlete for this year's London Marathon. Ollie Lockley has made the cut, along with only 30 to 40 other runners from around the world, and with only one previous marathon under his belt. After some COVID-based changes, they'll race on a 2.2-kilometre biosecure loop on the 4th of October. Ollie and Athletics Development Officer Michael Haslett spoke to me earlier this week.
It's amazing. Like, you've got two guys that are the fastest ever over the distance competing against each other, and it's an honour to be in their company. But at the same time, you know, it's very much an event that you've got to just run your own race, and, you know, you can't worry too much about what other people are doing. Otherwise, you know, if I get sucked in to a pace that's, you know,
too quick,
then yeah, I'm done. So I just need to run my own race and be sensible.
Just talk me through the event itself. So when it is, when you're going to travel over, what your sort of preparation the day before is going to be?
4th of October. The logistics of it all, I'm not too sure, but I know they're doing something called like a biosphere, some sort of bubble anyway. So everyone that's in that kind of race or around, mixing it in the hotel and stuff, are all kind of COVID free and cleared. So the race will be on a 2.2K loop, and I don't think there's any spectators. I'm not 100% sure on that, but yeah, it's going to be a lot of laps.
Now, have you had to adapt your training at all to prepare for the loops? Because obviously 2K loops, it's a lot of laps, whereas a marathon traditionally, maximum you may do two laps, but most likely it's sort of an A to B route.
Mm-hmm. So I do, as you know, I do a lot of my training around the NSC perimeter, which is an 800 metre loop. I had, before, when the marathon was going to be on its original course, I was planning on doing a lot of my runs up the north of the island, just because it's flat and, you know, you can do one big loop and you're done. But now I'm still kind of keeping my training on the loops, and just kind of more just mentally getting used to running laps, and you know, trying to get into that kind of zone, which I believe, you know, no one really knows how you get in the zone, but you know, I think it's just practice, isn't it? And if I can get used to running laps and switching off and getting used to that pace, that's what I've been doing.
I love the idea of a biosphere circle as well. You're just chilling out with Kipchoge, just watching some Netflix the night before.
That's it, yeah. I'll be chilling with Kipchoge and Bekele before.
Yeah, do you get starstruck at all?
I do. It's one of the few sports where I think you bridge that gap between like top elite and amateur or whatever. So, you know, when you're kind of, you know, eating with them and talking to them and kind of, you know, even running with them, like a warm-up or something, it is, I definitely get starstruck, but at the same time, I need to keep my kind of emotions, you know, put a cap on them and just make sure that I'm doing my thing.
Ollie Lockley and Michael Hazlett there, a huge achievement. Very best of luck to Ollie. We're talking rugby and drag queens next.
Manx Radio Sport.
Yes, you heard me correctly. Mud and mouthguards are being swapped for glitter and glam for an upcoming fundraiser to help boost the local rugby scene. Saturday, a night of drag, burlesque, booze, comedy and pole dancing is being put on by the Ladies Vagabonds team to help raise money for fixtures and also to promote the LGBTQ community. Since COVID hit, the Manx rugby scene has taken a pummeling financially, leaving teams on their own to fund everything themselves this season. Faggers player and event organiser Sophie Henry and coach Jack Kane spoke to me earlier this week.
When we sat down together, we kind of said, what will pull the island in? What haven't we got? And I thought, do you know what? Obviously, unfortunately, the Pride event was cancelled. Let's go big or go home. Do you know, we needed to do something to...
Brilliant.
To bring everyone together.
And you were saying particularly Youth Pride.
Youth Pride. So the money that we raise for Saturday night and tickets and stuff like that, we will also be donating towards Youth Pride. Obviously, again, in my past, I've people from Youth Pride, Leanne Newbold, she helped me a lot, so it would be nice to give back. So basically, when the girls got together, we sat and we said, what do we need? If we're going to... We didn't have a name yet, and we were just saying, right, Pride Night. And then one of the girls was like, what day are we going to do it on? And then Lauren Ellison from Vagabonds, she did come up with a name, and it, obviously Saturday Night, it's just the name, that you can't miss it, which is great. So on the night, there's going to be Vida Lefius, you've got Fenella Beach, you've also got Layla LaRue. And then, yeah, we've got pole dancers, which is Spin Freaks from Ramsey. We've also got a comedian, which is, she's Manx comedian, Colette, so it's Comedy with Colette. We've also got DJ Kenny.
Queens and Tassels,
burlesque, yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant. One of the biggest things going on in the night as well, yeah, burlesque. So it's going to be about an hour of fun.
Aside from the event, as a coach of the women's team, I would imagine it's incredibly frustrating quite regularly anyway, considering they have no one to play against. And you know, I've spoken to Lauren many a time up here about women in sport, and you know, we were just saying I get annoyed that it's called women's rugby rather than just rugby. You know, same with basketball, there's only one women's team, you know. So how is it as a coach trying to see these really passionate players progress, but being, there's only so much you could do when you've got no one to play against, and then when you haven't got the funding to leave the island to play?
Exactly, yeah, it's been really hard. And so we've been training since the beginning of July, kind of not having a clue what was going on then. We only found out probably middle of August that we had no funding. So it's hard then to change everything when we've got no idea what's happening. We tried to go to Guernsey to play, but it was just too expensive. Luckily, they're coming here, but we've had to change things up massively. So from October, but between October and Christmas, we're actually playing in the men's league. Yeah. Against the men.
Have you done that before?
No, I don't think it's been done anywhere.
Big
like
reveal.
Like a modified game.
Yeah, just reveal that, Jack.
Big
scoop. Yeah, so we're doing that, which is pretty cool.
So how will the game be modified?
Well, it'll have to be touch for a start. Yeah. Can't tackle each other, but then beyond that, I'm not sure. I think it's Chris Brannigan who's coming up with that game, so it's whatever.
I'd say it's more rough touch, isn't
work.
It?
It's, well,
when you get the boys and the girls together, although it's ladies playing men, I think, the girls do put up a good fight.
The girls
you
are
know.
Tough.
Oh,
yeah.
There's no backing down. If the boys want rough and tumble, the girls are there.
Yeah. Can you tell me a bit more about Guernsey coming over? So it's the 19th,
yeah, they're coming
it?
On the 19th of September. we don't really know too much about like kickoff or anything at the minute, but they're coming over. We're looking at changing the game, maybe like making it longer or something. They're bringing like 28 players. We just want everyone to play rugby who's there on the day. We'll change it however we need to so that people get game time.
Turn a whole season into one day.
Yeah,
you can get a few games in,
Yeah,
brilliant. And do you know much about the Guernsey side?
Not a lot, really. Well, I know that they're in the equivalent league to us,
right,
but in London. But other than that, no idea what they're like.
Okay.
I've had a wee snoop. I've watched a few videos. They're going to put up a good fight, I would say.
Saturday is on at the Vagabonds Rugby Club on the 3rd of October. Tickets are £25 and can be bought by emailing vagabondladiespride@gmail.com. And that's all from me and Friday Sport Preview this evening. Thank you very much to all my guests and to you tuning in. Chris Kinley has Greatest Hits for you now, and he'll also be talking to the Mepster in his show. And it will be Tim Glover with you tomorrow for the Classified programme on our AM frequency at 5 o'clock with tomorrow's results. Until then, have a lovely evening and I'll speak to you soon.